O God, thou art our strength and stay, our help and our hope in ages past and for all time to come. It is in that glorious faith that we come this day to worship thee. Bless us each, O God, as we bow before thee. Thou knowest our little triumphs, our knowing failures and frustrations, our need of help beyond ourselves. Minister to each of us, we pray, in this hour, as we wait before thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture lesson this morning is from the familiar second chapter of Paul's letter to the Philippians. Let nothing be done through vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things heaven, and things on earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore? Now, whenever Paul says wherefore, he's going to drive home a point. He's laid a theological foundation. Now listen to what he says. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life.
Thank you.
In one chapel service last year, Dr. Andrew Lester talked to us about up with humanness and talked about the fact that we are all human and that we ought to learn to make the most of it. I left the chapel that day thinking to myself, that's a good idea. Someday I'm going to preach a sermon on being only human. I didn't realize what point it would have for me and the seminary family until I was asked to join with two others in taking up the work of Dr. Moore for this year. And I'm supposed to be down in the health center every Wednesday afternoon and Friday morning to counsel with people about their human problems. We are just human. No one knows it better than I. One day in December, some years ago, I was busy in the office at First Baptist Church in Richmond, and suddenly it dawned on me that I was due at a meeting downtown where I was to preside that noon, and as quickly as I could, I finished up things in the study and hopped in the car and was hurrying on down Monument Avenue, and I heard a siren behind me. I pulled over to the curb, and a big, pompous-looking police major with a brass badge on looked out the window and recognized me and said, "Where are you going so fast, Doc?" And I said, "Well, I was busy at the church, and then I realized I had to preside the meeting downtown. I was hurrying to get there." He said, "We have more trouble with folks like you than anybody else." He said, "You get so many other things on your mind, you forget about what you're supposed to be doing driving a car." He said, "You were going awful fast down Monument Avenue." And I said, "Well, I'm sorry, sir, I just didn't realize it." He said, "I know you didn't." He said, "I tell you, it's almost Christmas. Take it for a Christmas present, but behave yourself in the future." It was a very humble Ted Adams that rode on down Monument Avenue and finally got to the meeting. They had already started, and I was embarrassed to have to explain why I was late as well as apologize for being late. And well, I learned again that day, I'm only human, as you are. Actually, we all share the same human frailties. We all have the same human appetites and desires for food, and drink, and shelter, and sex, and love, and security. We're all human. We have the same emotions of fear and joy, anger and frustration and embarrassment. We're all prone to the same human weaknesses, the same sins and temptations. And so often we fail and fall short. We sin. We're embarrassed and humiliated and burdened with fear and with guilt as human beings. But the important thing to remember is that just because we excuse ourselves by saying, "Well, I'm only human," doesn't mean that by that fact we are condemned to lives of weakness and sin and humiliation and failure. That's why I like the scripture passage of the morning. Jesus took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Jesus was human too. And he could understand what Paul said in his agony when he said, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And then he added, "I thank my God through Jesus Christ my Lord." And we have the promise that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away and gone. All things are become new. That's one of the miracles of being human. You can be changed and born again, made new. Dr. Carney Hargrove, a friend of the Baptist World Alliance, was in Nagaland in India last year. Told how he went in the office of the Secretary of Baptist Work in Nagaland. And there hanging on the wall was a sword. And he said to the secretary, "What in the world is that sword hanging on the wall for?" Why, he said, "That was brought in by one of our famous headhunters. He walked in here one day and said, 'Here's my sword. I've killed many a man with this sword. I've cut off many a head. But that's all past now. I'm a Christian. And I want you to hang my sword on your wall so that it can say to everybody who comes in here, Jesus Christ can make a difference in a person's life.'" And Jesus can make that difference because he was human. Now, when we say that he was human, not for one moment are we detracting from the fact that he was divine. When we glorify his humanity, we're not downgrading his divinity. He was unique in that he was both. You remember the old verse that says, "If Jesus Christ be a man and only a man, I say that of all mankind I will cleave to him I'll cleave alway. But if Jesus Christ be a God and the only God, I swear I'll follow him through heaven and hell, the earth, the sea, and the air." He was human. He had the same desires we have for food. He got hungry and thirsty and tired and lonely. When his disciples stood around when all the crowd was deserting him, he said, "Will you also go away?" He knew impatience and frustration as well as joy and weeping. You remember the time when he was trying to explain something, and he explained it, and finally he said, "Oh, foolish and slow of heart to believe. How long is it going to take you to understand? How many times do I have to tell you?" Or it was no sissy that drove those money changers out of the temple. He didn't stand there one day and say, "Fellas, what you're doing really isn't very nice. I think you ought to get out of here." He took a rope in his hand and said, "You're thieves and robbers and you're defiling the house of the Lord. Get out!" They got him. He knew agony and pain. He cried out, "I'm thirsty. My God, why?" But he knew victory. And in his agony, he could cry out, "It's finished. Father, I've done the job you gave me to do." But Jesus had other human qualities too. Children loved him. Crowds flocked to him. Men hung on his every word. With what courage he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. With what courage he bore his cross. We see him showing concern for his mother as he was dying, as he'd shown compassion for the woman who washed his feet, or for the children who were playing in the village square. All through his life, Jesus showed us humanity at its finest and its best. Till finally, the man who crucified him said, "Surely, he's a son of God." And that should give us hope. Because though we are human, we're made in the image of God. And God looked on his creation and he looked on man and said, it's good. And Jesus came to show us how good it could be. We're not only born physically, but born again spiritually. We can claim for ourselves that promise of being a new creation, a new person. It's wonderful what God can do with ordinary human beings who are concerned about doing his work and his will, serving God and their fellow men. This past summer, Ms. Adams and I drove through the mountains of Switzerland. We came to a little town of Heiden, way up in the hills. I'd never even heard of it before till the travel agent said that's a nice place to go and spend the night. We walked around the village and out to the lovely park overlooking a beautiful hillside and a wonderful lake. And there was a statue of a man. And I read his name, didn't mean a thing to me. It was very little on the statue to tell why it was there. I walked back to the hotel. I said to the manager, what's that statue out in the park? Oh, he said, that's Henry Dunant, the founder of the Red Cross. He spent the last 23 years of his life here in Heiden. Just think. A man from a little town in Switzerland who started the Red Cross, and for the flag, you know, he just took the flag of Switzerland that was a red flag with a white cross and changed it to a white banner with a red cross. One humble little man from a little town in Switzerland who has saved hundreds and thousands of lives. And God used him. We too are human, but we have the spark of the divine. And God can use us. Another thing the Bible teaches us about our humanity is that while we are human, we are called of God to show humanity at its best. We who bear the name of Christ. Goodness knows the world sees enough of humanity at its worst. The muggings and the robbery and the violence, the immorality and the pornography, it's all around us. But something better is expected of us. Where else can the world look for humanity at its best if not in the Christian church and if not to the Christian ministry? I love the word of the old deacon who said to a young pastor one day, remember, son, your sermons will bring God to men, but only your life will bring men to God. That has a special point for us today. I heard Klaus Meister, the head of the European Baptist Federation, speak this last summer. He's a professor at our Baptist seminary at Rüsselsheim. He was talking about the difference between the Eastern communist countries and the Western democratic countries. And he said, we have something to learn from the Eastern countries. He said, they do not live in a land where belonging to a church and being a Christian is the thing to do. They have to do something unusual, something different, something unpopular to be a Christian in a communist land. And he said, they out of their devotion and their courage can teach us how to be Christian in a secular society. Humanity at its best. Blessed is the man or woman who can say, I can do it, human as I am, through Christ who strengthens me. And one other thing we must mention. The Bible teaches us that it's human beings, God's human beings, remade in the image of Christ, We are to help others measure up to their possible best as human beings. For that reason, we are against anything that degrades humanity or makes it harder for human beings to be at their best. We're for anything that uplifts humanity and makes it possible for others to know life at its best. Dr. Sam Proctor, now the pastor of Abyssinia Baptist Church in New York City, was once president of Virginia Union University in Richmond. He called me one day and said, "Doc, my brother and I have been concerned about our younger brother. He was a college dropout. He's been getting nowhere down in Norfolk. He's just drifted from one job to another. He dropped out of school to get married, and he's got a couple of children. And my brother and I have decided we want to help him, and he wants help." Said he's willing to work. Said we've offered to pay his college expenses to finish his college. But I need a little money to help him until he can get a job. Could you help? And I said, "Sam, better than just a little money, we'll give him a job. We need a night janitor at our church." And Edgar Proctor came. Worked every evening after school. Got his education, went to Meharry Medical School, graduated with honors, specialized, and today is one of the leading eye surgeons in the city of Atlanta, just because three human beings cared enough to help another human being make the best of his life. Yes, we're only human. But as Christians, we're human only to be lights in the world in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. His lamps are we, to shine where he shall say. And lamps are not for sunny rooms, nor for the light of day, but for dark places of the earth, where hate and sin and crime have birth, and for the murky twilight grim where souls are groping after him. And as oft times a lamp is seen clear shining through the night, so bright you do not see the flame, but only see the light. So may we shine. His life the flame, that men may glorify his name. Shall we pray? We do thank thee, O God, that we are human, that we have a chance to make the most of life, to enjoy it, to use it for thy good and thy glory. And for the good of others, in Jesus' name. Help us each, O God, to make the most of what we are, for Jesus' sake.